Hello, and welcome to the Strength to Be Human podcast with your host, author and playwright Mark Anthony Rossi. This show explores all forms of creativity for those searching for meaning and a place in the world. To err is human, but so is to love. Now, without further ado, here's your host.
Welcome back, folks, to Strength to Be Human. I'm your host, Mark Anthony Rossi. I have with me an incredibly interesting individual and a good friend to boot, and that would be John Patrick Robbins. He's responsible for a number of publications. He actually has more than I do, which is fine because it's a big job. He's got that Why Risk Again, and he got the Under the Bleachers and Drinkers Only. So he's got some really interesting publications, and he supports a lot of wonderful artists out there as well. He's also a podcaster himself, intermittent, but he does that as well. He is my co-host on the guest house segment of A Strength to Be Human, and let's just welcome John Patrick Robbins to the show. John, thank you very much for coming on board.
Oh, well, thank you for having me, Mark. It's an honor, and it's just really been looking forward to this.
I've been wanting to do it too, so don't get me wrong, and I don't mean to put you behind the bus, as they say. But the truth of the matter is that as we were going on the other show and some of the other things that we've been doing in our own creative lives, I had to put you towards the back because I started already talking to other people and getting them set up, and then it wouldn't have been fair, to put you out there first when I've already been setting up 5, 6, 7, 8 people all around the world, literally. So it's always been in the back of my mind to get it done. I just wanted to get a good time to do it. So this is a really great time to get this handled and show people who know you, or maybe people who don't know you, another side of John Patrick Robbins as the writer. And I see it all the time. So maybe it's good now the show is out so that people can hear it and see it as well, because sometimes the image of the entertainer or the bad boy or the guy that has a couple more drinks than the rest of us, sometimes that always doesn't speak to all the things that the person's about, because writing is work, and you can't do work if you're loaded and you're acting like a fool. So people should really realize that. But if they don't, well, this show should really educate them about the writer and the artist, John Patrick Robbins. All right, John, go on ahead with that.
Well, yeah, there. That's the thing. I probably a pitfall of being a humorous writer sometimes, because I do infuse a lot of humor into my work, is that people, they take it as literal. They don't take it as the craft of storytelling once I pride myself on. And it always is, as we've said 100 times, it always comes down to work. I can't be loaded and getting all these things done, because I stay really busy. I'm definitely pulled in a lot of directions. I'm always editing or working on a book or sending out to publications. Once it's a job, and it takes a lot of dedication. And that, as you know, and so, yeah, I'm kind of, the misconceptions of me are that, and of course that is the thing, is yes, do I drink? Yes. Is that really the whole of me? No, that's just an element. It's everybody has something they do, and that's something I do. And I do write about quite a bit, but mainly to entertain people and to show. My whole thing, though, honestly, is when it comes down to my own work, is that it's all about people. Maybe I use the bar as a backdrop and aesthetic, but it always comes down to really being conversations between people and showing those sides, and even the most fractured people have good inside them. And that's what I really try to do and showcase in my own writing.
It's not easy when somebody puts forward a certain image out there, even if they don't mean for it to last, or even if they don't mean for it to be that image. Sometimes when it's out there, it's what people captures in their attention, and even sometimes in their imagination. So, you know, sometimes the fault is not just with the person putting the image out there. Sometimes the fault is just that we don't always give people another look, because we just sort of take that first and then run with it. And I don't know if it's laziness or just the fast-paced part of society. You know as well as I do that there's probably people there that say, I don't know if I want to be on the show. The guy sounds too serious. Even though you know from behind the scenes that most of the times I'm beyond serious. I'm just joking or laughing about something. But I don't know how to bring that part of me onto the show most of the times, because it often messes up my focus, or I'll lose a train of thought or questioning I might want to have. Or also just because part of this show is about listening to what the person is saying. So you could follow up with a question that makes, you know, everything sound more intelligent and more interesting, and maybe gives people a bigger understanding. And it's kind of hard for me to do that if I'm, you know, riffing on 500 jokes every 5 seconds. But and you live with that, though. And I'm okay with that part of it, because sometimes it means that you have to change more just to satisfy maybe a segment of people, and to no disrespect to anyone, but there's a point where you just have to settle on who you are. So I think this is great for you to show another dimension, and whether if somebody puts down the other view of you or not is another story, but at least they can't say that, you know, that's all he ever put out, so that's how I took it, because now they're hearing and seeing something else.
Well, you know, that's another thing that, and to give a little plug for our show guest host, I mean, it's I've been able to kind of display that other side that you know, because as we are friends outside of this, that's there. But, you know, ultimately it is, you know, we can't help with people, how they perceive us or and I understand. I have projected that out there. So, and running, like I said, running as far as running a humorous publication. So it's ultimately, I think it is good when we do this and when we do our other show that, to showcase every side, because people have so much to them. There's multi-dimensions really to a person's personality, and it is good to showcase that.
And there really are, no doubt about it. And I think if you look at it in the biggest picture possible, folks, we are responsible to a certain extent about what we project out there into the world. So I'm not going to say we need to run away from that, because that would be irresponsible. But at the same point, you are expecting on the other end that, you know, you're going to have some people that, you know, they could take a joke without, you know, thinking that you're crazy, or they could take that, you know, if you're trying to put across something that's serious and you're trying to get some kind of respect for the artist or for arts, that maybe you don't feel the humor is really going to work a lot of the times. Maybe sometimes that lessens the value that you're trying to put across, and nothing that's something wrong with humor. It's just that, hey, that's it is. So you might come across more serious than you really are in your general walk of life. But in the end, you only can take so much of that and do something with it before you have to put your own foot down and say, well, this is how I have to be for this, and this is how I have to be for that. And sometimes you have to be a couple different personalities to get things done. I mean, I'm not the same serious person when I'm a husband or a father, because they'd all run away. Oh my God, I'm bored. So you can't. You gotta have some jokes, and you gotta have some understanding, and you gotta have some just sometimes letting things go, because that's just the, you know, human nature and the nature of the dynamics between people. But while we're doing this, we are generally serious, and we're generally hardworking people, and it's important that folks get to see and understand that, especially in your particular case, where not all do or understand that because of the kind of publications you put out, or maybe sometimes, you know, they don't always take the joke the way you might have wanted them to.
Yeah, that's that is true. and that's another thing I think that's also helped, and sometimes kind of, I think maybe it does shock people a little bit, is that, you know, when they deal with me behind the scenes as a editor, they're very surprised at how different I am. And, you know, how, well, I pride myself on being professional, but, you know, that because ultimately it comes down to, I love words and I love writing and I really respect writers. So yeah, there's a different side to me that most people don't get to see. And, but then again, I can argue that, when you pick up my book, if you want to pick up a great example, if you want to pick up Smoking at the Gas Pumps by Summa Publishing, you will see there's more than elements of just humor. There's some really deep emotional type things where you look inward, you know, and not everything I write is a joke or humor. And that's the thing. There, well,
that's part of the reason why I like the book so much and why I took it serious, because once I took in the humor and just the lifestyle of being a single guy, I don't have that lifestyle anymore. then you could go to some of the serious things in the book, and there's breakups that make sense, and you can see that they have a cost to them and an impact, and that sometimes you learn from that. I remember a piece about your mom and the complicated relationship that you have, and and how I know, including myself, by the way, there are plenty of writers that would have said, I can't even do that because it's too difficult, it's too painful, maybe it's even too private, and you decided to do that. So it's not only an important piece of work, but it, you know, it's an important piece of bravery in a whole landscape of people that wouldn't do that. I mean, I can't even do that. I just wouldn't. That's too difficult. But you did something a lot of us are not doing or can't do. So not only should you get credit for being a writer, but get it for being a serious writer. But like a lot of people, you have a lot of different sides to you, and people should see more of that so they can understand about where you're coming from as a writer and maybe even where you're coming from as the editor, that you're still human and you're not a cartoon, you're not cardboard, and you're not some crazy stereotype.
Yeah, no, that's the thing, and especially with that piece, it's just, I do get a lot of compliments on that, but for me, it's just, I just take writing, whether people know this or not, I take writing 100% serious, and no matter what I'm doing, I put 100% of me into it, and it's, you know, and being vulnerable is part of that, and that's what I... You know, I pride myself on that. I can go deep, you know, and sometimes, I mean, just like anything, you can be viewed as a comedian, but I never want to be in a stereotype. And that's why I like to give. I think if you give my book a read, you'll learn that. And that I like to kind of go everywhere. I'm not restricted and I don't restrict myself. And, you know, sir, I have, you know, I show kind of a darker side of things, but I, you know, there's always heart in there. It's not me just trying to glamorize anything. I try to tell a story, and that's really what I like to do, and why I like that book so much. I love that book so much because it really is it's a really tight, concise a book. I'm a big, big fan of it myself. So, you know,
and nothing wrong with that. If you're not a fan of your own work, then this is definitely not the right business to be in, because you're going to have plenty of people that are going to like, I don't know, on this, that, whatever. So you have to be your first fan. You really do.
Yeah. That's, you got to believe in yourself, because you're in this game. You are glad that we mentioned all this, but I mean, you really have to kind of be your own marketing team. You have to, you know, you have to believe in yourself. And if you don't believe in what you're doing, why are you doing it to begin with? You know, I understand a lot of people have insecurities, and I do, just like anybody else. But ultimately, I put it out there believing in it, and hopefully it connects. And it seems to have connected from other writers that I really respect out there who seem to really dig it, and that's kind of the biggest compliment you can get.
And it's going to continue to do so. And the reason why it's going to be continue to do so is because you as a writer are simply more honest than most people out there. And then when you put it into a kind of a quasi story, prose, poem type of structure, again, something you don't see a whole lot out there. And I can tell you that without having to brag, because I have a journal and I see thousands of poems over the last couple of years. So I already know that if I don't come across something like this, not even on a regular basis, like never, then I got to take that seriously and I got to look at and see what's going on there. And you could have easily took a unique structure and ruined it by you know, corny jokes and stupid observations, but you didn't. You put real life into it. That makes it art, and it also makes it something that's gonna last, and that's what I found so appealing about it. And if people can break through their own, I guess you could say, prejudice for a moment, and you know, and just say, no, it's just all about drinking. Well, you obviously haven't read it then, because you wouldn't be saying that if you read the book. You'd say that, hey, there's a couple of poems about drinking in there. Guess what? There's a lot of rock and rollers out there. They put a couple of poems of about drinking in their music, but not every one of their damn songs are about drinking. So yeah, you've got to judge them the same way. Otherwise, I mean, I never hear anyone say that. AC/DC is a drinking band. I mean, they have a couple drinking songs, and they also have a lot of other songs that have nothing to do with any of that at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's probably the same thing with that guy, that guitarist from Delaware, George Thorogood. He's got some drinking songs too, real popular ones. But there's plenty of other stuff he writes that has nothing to do with that. So I don't hear anybody saying he's the drinking guitarist. So that's the drinking band. So why is this guy the drinking poet? I mean, come on. Let's stop being silly. Well,
I can definitely see that. You know, that's the thing, though, and just like why I do infuse the humor is sometimes you have to have different ways to draw, at least from what I see, to draw the reader in, because it's not, you know, and sometimes you can do that with humor. You can kind of, and then you can go way deeper on something that maybe they really wouldn't be interested in, at least in my case, from what I found, but then they read this and, oh, that, you know, I can identify, because it's all about making a connection. And I know that world, and I'm very observant, and the stories I take are largely influenced by everything around me. And that's the style I admired. And that's from my influences. It's what they did, you know, and people probably stereotype them, but I mean, that's just, I really admired an older type style of writing, and that's what I want to do, and that's what I try to do. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, yeah, you can kind of go and say, well, you know, my thing is, my whole thing will always come down to this is, ultimately, if you think all my work is just about that, then I will say this: go pick up Gas Pumps and read that work, and then, you know, I think you'll find there's a lot more than if you're just judging something you've never read it. And that's kind of, you know, that's like saying, oh, well, I can't stand a certain food, but I've never tried it. So yeah, very close-minded.
It happens, and you know. Part of what we're supposed to be trying to do is, it might be, you know, successful, not successful, depending on, you know, the project or going over the course of time. But we're supposed to try to do whatever we can to open people's eyes and maybe open their hearts or their minds. And not every case you're going to be able to do that, but that's part of our artist's job, is to try to let people see something that they haven't saw before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's the thing, and that's what I think I try to put that out there. And I said, I do think it connects, and it's obviously does. I've been getting, you know, more and more publications, and I think people are, you know, and that's all I can ask for as a writer, that people enjoy what I write. And that's the biggest compliment, because I don't do it just for myself. I do it to a large degree to entertain and to connect with people. And I believe it's doing so because it's, you know, it's more and more I'm finding places are accepting and becoming more receptive to my work because maybe they're seeing a different element or whatever. And that's that I can thank a lot, give a lot of credit to you and other great journals that have taken a chance on me that I truly appreciate, you know, because they didn't judge a book by its cover and gave it a chance. And I give my all to the page, and I always, and I, you know, it's sacrifice too. It's not like I'm just goofing off and partying and then, oh, okay, you know, I'm gonna come home and scribble one down and send it out and it gets automatically published. That's not how it works, as you know. So yeah, I am grateful.
And you're hearing that, folks, now, right? So if you're actually secretly saying to yourself, where does he get the time to write these poems when he's always drinking? Mm-hmm. Well, then you already know that he's not always drinking, okay? He's just a pretty normal guy trying to be serious about his work and understanding that it does take work, it does take some time management, take some discipline, take some even sacrifice, because he's doing other projects to help other writers as well. And what's important mm-hmm. for us as writers to understand is simply that when we're doing this, we're putting ourselves out there, and we accept that we're going to get rejected. That's part of a writer's life. We're also going to expect that sometimes the people are going to take us maybe different than we expected, and we accept that as well too. We just don't want to accept that, you know, somebody just writes you off like a bumper sticker, and then that's what you have to combat that, and that's what you have to have an interview to say, hey, this is me as well, and this is what I'm doing, because otherwise, that's what happens. You're just a bumper sticker. Oh, I don't like that stuff. Boop. I don't like that stuff. Boop. And then they all end up telling other people, he's about that. Boop. And next thing you know, you got people who are not listening to you because, you know, word of mouth on something good does have an effect on people's outlook on things and even how they approach your work or even if they buy your work. Well, it works in the reverse, too. If you have a bad word of mouth, you know, he's this, he's that, well, everything gets shut down then because people are, like, too afraid to take a chance or don't want to go in the direction that you supposedly are at. And not even, no one's even saying, let me go check that out first. Can you give me a sample, John? Can you do this? And a lot of people don't do that. You don't get that kind of a chance. So if you're not helping to get your image out there, or at least your fuller image, or your corrected image, or just, hey, read a sample of my work before you go around saying something. You're going to do yourself a disservice because plenty of people are going to simply write you off just based on somebody else saying some nonsense. Because not even because they don't like you or because they hate you or because you know, they're not into what you're doing. It's just because that's the same nonsense they heard from somebody else said the other day. You know, and people, they don't realize how much they harm things that are out there, or even good things that are out there, by being careless like that.
Yeah, it's sad, but it's true. That kind of the group almost mentality. And, you know, I would say, though... With me, even if you don't want to look at my writing or anything, if you ever have a question about my passion for this and my seriousness, I run three journals, three mags, e-things, whatever, you know, you prefer to call them. And I keep steady with those. One, as you know, is a tremendous amount of work, let alone three. And that if I wasn't dedicated, if I wasn't passionate about what I do and believing and pushing other writers, I wouldn't be doing that because it's not for ego. And that's another thing. It's not, you know, no matter how people judge me, I just hope they take that I am serious when it comes to writing. It's not all a good time and a party with me. So, you know, certainly I certainly I can be a fun person, but you know, I work very hard. as you do, as and so many editors out there. It's another thing that I do have probably a newfound respect for editors who've done this so much longer, and I feel really, really honored when you know, editors like yourself even call me an editor, because I mean, I have not done this for a long time, but I really do enjoy doing. You have to have a passion for it, and I do, and I enjoy it. And so that's the thing, for people judge me, look at everything, look at me as a whole, don't look at me as just one little facet, you know, that helps if you do it that way, because you have to, and to me, that's, you know, it's the best way to look at anything in life.
Well, I can tell you that my definition of people, in terms of what makes me feel good about a person and even a writer, to me, it's all about the work ethic. Because I don't care how good or bad you think you're writing, or even how good or bad other people might think your writing is. If you have the work ethic, that's all going to change, because you're looking, you're trying to redo things, you're trying to get better. And eventually you get better, because it's all about work ethic. It's that corny cliche about practice makes perfect. And I'm not a big person about perfection, but there is some truth to that kind of cliche about redoing things over and over again to get better, because there's no point in complaining about anything if you're not putting the work in. And now you don't really hear complaints from people who continue to try to work on their craft. Because they understand it's a craft, they understand it's serious, they understand that, you know, it has an impact. You know, I always tell people, because it's sort of a funny thing to me, but you meet this girl, and, you know, if you're one of those folks out there that, you know, you're if it's the same gender, then just apply it that way, okay? All right. So you meet this girl, okay, and you're like, oh, wow, she's really cool, and so then you set a date, because that's literally what a date means, is that you're fixing a date on the calendar so you go visit her again, okay? You're fixing the date, you go to that date, but what are you doing before that date? You're doing all these things to get ready. I'm going to take an extra shower, I'm going to make sure this hair is cut here, cover up this pimple maybe, and throw on a little bit different shirt, or, you know, make sure, you know, I got a cologne on and do my hair. And the girl's probably doing 17,000 more things than usual, because women have to do so much to get ready. And then when it's a date, they're really, really getting ready. And it's the same thing for writing. You have to put so much work out there to present this to an editor or a publisher, because it's just like that first date. You want to be able to be taken seriously, you want to be interesting, you don't want to turn the person off, so you're doing everything under the sun. I mean, in some cases, and I'm sure you probably had first dates the same way we all have, I don't care what gender you like or what country you're from, we've all had dates where it's like, no matter how good the date went, and no matter how it ended, you're saying to yourself, oh my God, can I keep up with this? Because I don't even recognize myself anymore. I'm so different in this date than I normally am. They're going to find out I'm a fraud by the third date. So you can't have that, although in writing, because you got to be genuine and you got to work on it hard. And whatever you send out there is it. No one really gives you a second chance if they don't like the stuff. It's very rare. It happens, but it's very rare. So it's got to be the best out there. So I don't know why folks often put artists down, think we're flaky, think we're weird, and then don't realize that the work that goes into it and the sacrifice and all the stuff that's around us. I mean, there's not a writer out there, even if they don't want to admit it in the interview, and I'm fine with that. I don't ask everybody to be truthful on everything, because, you know, we have our privacy to protect, and I respect that. But I'm telling you, there's not a writer out there that I've talked to, private or otherwise, that don't have four or five people whispering in their ears, you suck. You should stop doing that. You're never going to make any money in that. What the hell is the point in that? Shakespeare's already covered all that. You're just wasting your time. You should just go hang out and do something else. There's not a writer out there that don't have a couple of those voices in their head on a regular basis. In real time, sometimes, in their marriage sometimes, in their family, sometimes from the past, they still hear that voice. That's there all the time. So when I look at a writer or an artist, I'm looking at somebody that is extraordinarily focused, that's doing things contrary to people around them believe can be done, and they're stronger, and they believe more in things because they have to. Otherwise, everything would collapse around them, and then the world actually acts silly. I don't understand this. I don't understand that. Well, let me explain it to you. You got one job, and this guy got like three jobs. Some of them got four and five jobs, okay? So if you think he's weird, I don't know how that's weird, because he's worked harder than you are because he wanted to get some other things achieved in his life. Maybe you're weird because you just think one job's okay, and then you go have three beers and watch a couple of TV shows. Maybe that's weird. Have you ever thought about that was weird? Because if you think that's normal, well, according to a writer, there's nothing very normal about that. You seem boring rather than us. So there's another view of writers that people don't recognize and they don't understand. And we do our best to try to explain it and to try to educate them. But in the end, we're going to be who we are. And that's people who think, and that's people who feel maybe more than others do. And that's people that definitely work harder than lots of other people do, you know. And that's definitely people that, in many aspects, they can help change the world by the stuff that they do. You know, you're making rivets in the rivet factory. I don't know what kind of world you're changing. You know, I mean, it's important to feed your family and do something, you know, so you're not idle. I got all that. But you don't really have the room to make fun of anybody unless you're doing something else. Unless you're doing something more than that, then you'll understand who we are, because we're hardworking. And yes, we might be a little strange, too. But the only reason why we're strange is because we believe in things before they happen. Which is really funny, because if you think about that definition, John, that's no different. Mm-hmm. That's no different than a parishioner going to church. No one's making fun of them. What are you going to church for? You haven't really seen God. You don't know if Jesus ever existed. You don't know if the Holy Spirit is out there. You don't know if Buddhists really did this or do that. But that's what you're doing. Every time you're out there doing something, you're acting on the faith of things that you believe in, and you're not sure what's going to come about it, but you're going to work on it and believe anyway until it does come to pass. Yeah, making fun of the parishioner. Don't make fun of the artist.
Yeah, that's true, and that's another thing, is that we work really, really hard, and I think the best work hard to almost not make it look easy, but it's just, yeah, it's just knuckle down and work. It's all it ever comes down to in any of this stuff, or anybody who's good at anything. They're not getting caught up in drama and a lot of other BS. It's just, they're just working. And, you know, I like to think that I always want it to, at least for me, I always wanted to be a writer. It's really what I want to do. And now I'm blessed that I get to write books. I get to edit. I get to, you know, do a lot of things, everything I can involving writing. And I think sometimes folks will look at everything I do and probably think, because even with podcasting that I've done, you know, sporadically on with what I've done, and then they think maybe it's just an attention thing, and it's just work. It's work and me trying to do everything I can, and I always want to be here, so I'm going to take the advantage of the time I got, because we never know, you know, tomorrow is not certain. So I'm going to do everything I can to put work out there, push other writers, because this is what I really, this is what I just love doing. That's basically it with me.
Hey, it's the tale of lots of writers out there that they find themselves, because a lot of times people don't know that writing is going to stick with them. They might think it's just a passing fad, and sometimes that's families think too. And they probably hope it too. Oh, I hope it stops. Like we're doing something evil or crazy out there. But sometimes writers will realize that this is what they're supposed to do. And it doesn't matter in the end if they become successful or not. Or maybe they measure success in a different way than the world does. Or maybe they're just happy that the stuff's out there and they have achieved something from that. But when they hear the call and they become a writer, There's something fulfilling in it that's beyond anything that you can get from anybody. I don't even care if it's a loved one or not. People sometimes can only give you so much, and then the rest of it you get from creating things. And that's just why it becomes so important for so many people who do it, because they understand that no matter how happy they are in their lives, it's the only thing that fully makes them complete.
Yeah, it's that's another thing with writing is that, you know, ultimately, like I tell people, you know, when it comes down to it, originally where it all started from, I wasn't writing for publication when I first started, you know, trying to scribble and do this. It's just, you know, I write for myself. And if it pleases myself, hopefully others get it as well. You know, it's not like I completely write thinking, oh, what will the reader think of this? No, I write what pleases me. And if I dig it, and I do, you know, I hope that it connects with other people. And that's why I do this, you know, and that's, you know, that's the main thing when it comes to all this stuff. It's, you know, I just generally love to write. It's not a burden. It's time consuming. Of course, anything, it's worth anything. It takes some work. It's not all going to be easy. And that's dedication. That's one thing. I mean, anybody knows me, I'm dedicated, whether I have a drink or not. I am extremely dedicated. So, yeah.
It's definitely what's necessary out there. The work ethic and the dedication, and sometimes even the sacrifice. I know I've had times in the past, especially, you know, where I was on the roll in something and I was getting a project done, and maybe even a set of fiction pieces or articles, where I decided to not call the person up to go out and have fun, or I decided to skip the, you know, the date with a girl, or even a travel opportunity, because I'm always going to have plenty, but I wasn't going to have this time where I felt like this is where I'm going to get something done, versus another time where you don't know. Because if anyone knows anything about writing, it's not like a room and you flip the switch and the light comes on. It's not always that case. Sometimes it flips it for you, and now you got to be ready to do something, because it might just go away just as quickly. And that's the life of a writer. It's probably what makes people think we're strange, just because we sort of follow that maybe that small voice or that strong feeling, or, you know, just that deja vu about, I should check into this. It's not so apparent in a very, you know, black and white world of going to a movie with a person, or going to hang out at an amusement park, or, you know, working out on the track or something, where it's all very, explained and nothing more beyond that. What we do can be very mysterious, and maybe that sets us apart from other people, even if we don't want it to. It's just, that's what it does.
Yeah, that's we're kind of cut from a different cloth when it comes to that. And it's not, whatever kind of process works for somebody works for them. We're all completely different. This is not like a format. It's not like a factory job. It's not a standard routine where you just have to do this certain pattern and you get a certain result. And no, everybody is completely different. And I know with me, well, when it comes to, I mean, even if I look at my first collection, I try to take my time, I definitely frustrate some people with deadlines probably, but I really try to take my time with things, where other people can just really produce things on a very quick level, and God bless them for it. I wish I could, but, yeah, everybody's completely different in their process. as you said, it's just not walking into a room, turning a switch, and okay, I'm going to produce this many pieces. And
would be nice,
you know. Yeah, it'd be real nice, but I'm kind of, you know, if I write, this is true. If I sit there, I look at how I do it, just like I did with gas pumps. My whole process of when I go to a book, I will overwrite. I'll write, say if there's 40, well, I probably wrote close to 80 pieces. And then I look at, like, you get a jigsaw puzzle. You know, you open it up, there's a million pieces in there. And I just start seeing how this sounds, how this flows with that. And I have a lot to pick from. And then I put it together, you know. And that's just how I work. I don't know. I know some people probably sit there and hammer it out and they have this set kind of thing. I don't. I see how it overall works together, and I think of it like just like another really great friend of mine. We think of it like music, and I know a friend who I just give him mention anyways, because a tremendous friend of mine is Ryan Quinn Flanagan, who just, and he can crank them out. I don't move at that pace, but we all do it differently. But I really do. I like to kind of see the rhythm of something. Gas Pumps had a dark, to me, rhythm that was really a beautiful rhythm to it. And that's why I love that book so much. So yeah,
it's definitely a great read and should be out there, because it stands on its own. And that's the true test of any artist, regardless of what you folks believe or not believe you understand about John Patrick Robbins. If you put together a project that stands on its own, it stands apart from other things, well, then he's done something that no one else is doing. I don't write like that. I don't think like that. Those kind of story poems that you put together, they're not even part of the way I do my own poetry. I just don't do it that way. Mm-hmm. Not because there's anything bad. It's just because I'm me. And me says that's not going to work for me, but it's going to work for mm-hmm. you. And there's a couple other people that do story-type poems, but they do them more like a prose poem or almost a microfiction. And it doesn't mm-hmm. have the same kind of humor, and it goes on a whole different path. But there's still very few of that sort of thing out there. And yours stands of being incredibly unique. So that's what's important about pushing something like that, talking about something like that, and just wanting to be around something like that, because you're proud that somebody's doing something different than you are, and it's standing on its own. So that's what makes me so happy about that particular project. Which of course is available all over the world, in Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Kobo, all kinds of ebook places. And it's exciting for it to be an ebook, because people can download it instantly on their computer, on their phone, on their Kindle ebook reader, and other ebooks. Kobo has its own reader. You could read it on that as well. But it makes it something that can travel, you know. And I hear the next generation might start putting out audio books out of business, because they want to do the next ebook version where the person can, from their phone, look at a little video clip for the book and maybe even hear some of it as an audio already talking to you from a robot voice that sounds almost like a human. But it could read something back to you. Probably good for blind people or people who can't read as well because of their eyes and, you know, or their age. So there's still new versions and new ways that we can make this thing come alive and become more relevant to people. So the future is extremely bright mm-hmm. as long as people are out there still creating and still believing, you know. And if I could make a T-shirt for writers, that's what I'd be saying on it. Still believing, because that's really what you are every day. You're still believing, because when you stop believing, then you stop being a writer. I know ones that have stopped before. Don't get me wrong, they have, and and I can't do a lot for them, because you can't reignite somebody to believe again. If they just think they're finished, or they just don't think it has any worth, or if they have an expectation that's just simply beyond reality, and you can't help them with it, then they're pretty much done, and that's what happens. But thankfully, so many stick with it. And they have a chance to do something important if they continue to believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. That is a hard thing, I think, for every writer sometimes. I think we all kind of get to that point where you can get worn out. You can get burnout. I mean, I definitely do multiple things. That's the only thing about when you add the the title, and it's not just a title. For you know, it's when you call yourself an editor, it's not just a title, it's a job. And when you add that on top of trying to produce your best, and sometimes it is the frustration is immense, but ultimately, if I didn't do this, I mean, this is way cheaper than therapy. So
that's true.
You know, and it's that's my thing. It's just something, you know, I think as Bukowski had said, it should never be a burden. And writing is not a burden to me. It's just something that was there. It's something that was just good to do. And it's never changed for me. It's always been that release. It's been that place that I have to go to. If I don't write, you don't want to deal with me, because then I'm, you know, I'm not, you know. If some people think my writing may get dark, well, look, be around me if I don't write for a while, because I always get, I mean, I get tired, and I get just like any other person, I get fussy. But at the end of the day, once I'm working on one of these projects, I'm just, that's when I'm happiest, is when I'm really sitting down, writing, working on a book. And that's another thing that's really cool about the way things are going now, like even with the ebooks and with Gas Pump, it's unique, because that book in particular, and this is no knock against anybody, there's no ride in there that you can find anywhere else. You know, I mean, later is like teasers. We did release little rights to like other mags. And but that book is just unique and stands unto itself. And you can get it anywhere. And that's what's so awesome. I mean, and that's ultimately the thing for me, because I want to be a writer. I don't, you know, I want to be read. I'm definitely not a model. I don't care to be seen, but I do want to be read.
So. I hear you. Even though there are definitely some positive aspects of writers that other people can use and respect, you know, like the mm-hmm. dedication and the work ethic and all of that. Mm-hmm. In the end, writers know that writing is not a job. Even though it's work and they need to have a work ethic, it's not a job. It's still an art. And that's what makes it mm-hmm. a little bit harder than a job, because you got to make some sacrifices, and you got to go out there, and you got to put yourself out there, and you got to spend more time than even a job would allow. So it's art mm-hmm. because it needs all of that to happen. And it makes writers can be in some instances, people might think we're, you know, a little strange, because they're like, I don't really get them. But if you could sit down and talk to people about that, I think they would have a better understanding. I mean, they don't know all for the feeling of what we feel, you know. And I'm like you, and I think a lot of writers are like you, in the sense that if you go a long period without writing, you feel something different mm-hmm. about yourself. And everybody defines the long period as, you know, whatever is important to them. You know, I don't go without writing almost never. I mean, there's almost not a day that goes by that I'm not doing some kind of writing. I can't even remember a day that I didn't do something. That's just part of who I am. I don't need to do mm-hmm. a whole bunch. I just need to do enough that I'm okay with it. And because later on, I'll put it all together, and that's how I do my own process. So I don't have mm-hmm. to have something fully formed to feel good, as long as I'm doing something, not just sitting there, you know, and watching a TV show and not doing anything. Because that's what you do when you're watching a TV show. You're watching somebody else's writing. You're not sure watching mm-hmm. your own, you know, because you should be doing your own. So,
yeah.
But I know that we are different than anyone else can believe, but there's so many things about us that are the same as anybody else. I mean, we mm-hmm. love, we hate, we breathe, you know, we like, we dislike. We mm-hmm. we can be dramatic as much as we don't like drama. You know, I mean, that's just people mm-hmm. trying to be creative. But we believe more than other people do that, you know, the world has a chance, and the world can be better, and the world can change if maybe they consider things. And people are running around the world and in their life so much that they don't really can recognize that there's things they could do better. And that sometimes the world is the way it is not because of bad people, because of good people just not paying attention. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we have to point that out to people as well, because they have the power to change things, and we can help them to see that. And that's part of another reason for writing, is sometimes you want somebody to learn or look at something in a new way, and writing sometimes is the only way for them to get there.
Yeah, it's writing is, well, I mean, to a writer, I mean, honestly, when it comes to the page, it's just, I think, to any writers out there who really truly love this, and you have to love it, as you said. It's not, you know, this is not a clock in, clock out type of deal. You know, it has to be, to me, writing is just like breathing. I've been doing it. I don't think you think about breathing. I mean, in some cases you probably do, but it's there, and it's just part of who I am as a person. And, you know, like it or don't like it, you know, it's always going to be there with me, and I'm always going to be doing it. So you know, hopefully I'm going to be around a while.
Well, I expect that you are, and I'm happy you're out there. As a writer that's doing things different than the rest of us as writers, so that's important as well too, to say, and for folks to understand that I don't know what day you arrived, because I don't know, I don't even know what that means half the times, but I can say that you definitely arrived, you know, for sure. I just don't know when, but and that what you're doing is meaningful and certainly is valid, regardless of what kind of costume or mask or image you put out there. You know, this stuff is still important to read and to get a hold of. And I would say, more than anything else, that when writing or even poetry gets some kind of bad name as being too accessible or too out there or too academic or too intellectual, or my favorite thing, this is arty, whatever the hell that's supposed to mean. You got somebody like John that's putting it out there. He's still obeying all the rules that are necessary to be an artist and to put out art, but he's speaking your language, and he's being plain and honest and understanding and heartfelt. And even sometimes a little angry. But if you've got something like that that's supremely human, well, you know, you need to go out in there and get that then, because you don't have any more excuses about, this is not for me, I don't understand this. Well, it is for you, and you should easily understand it. And it's priced right, it's easy to deliver, so you need to go out there and get that, smoking at the gas pumps. I mean, even the title itself is both funny and ironic. I mean, I don't know if there's any kids listening to the show, but you don't want to smoke at the gas pumps, okay? But at the same point, yeah, an adult will understand on how sometimes we can live our life to the fullest, and maybe and maybe not be the most safe, or maybe we just need to risk something, because sometimes for people and for artists, the only way they can feel alive is to risk something. So maybe maybe that's what you have to do, you know. Potentially blow up the gas station to feel alive. Maybe, I don't know. Yes. But I know the metaphor and how it makes perfect sense. But you know, you don't want to actually do that. But
no.
But that is still a tale and an image and certainly a language that should easily speak to people who think that they don't have a place in the writing world. Well, yeah, you do. You be a reader. And you'll learn, you'll understand, and you appreciate. And it might even change a little bit of how you look at the world. And then in the end, that's what his job was to do, and then he accomplished that. So, folks, don't forget that. You got somebody interesting and unique out there doing something others are not doing. A lot of us are wonderful writers. I could speak about 100 of them on this show. But not all of us, including myself, are accessible as he is. I mean, my nonfiction is, but maybe sometimes my poetry is not. My fiction can be, and maybe the plays will be deeper than I'd like. So I could hit and miss out there, because I write in so many different genres, but this guy already hits it out of the park every time. Well, that's what you want to go to. You want to go to him first. John, thank you very much for being out here, being honest and open as always. But showing folks the full and the complete side of who you are, what you're trying to do out there, because it makes a difference to all of us as writers, that when you're out there, because you represent us well, and I'm proud to know you and to have any kind of part in helping you with your writing.
Well, thank you, Mark. It's truly an honor. You're a great friend, great writer, great publisher, and it's an honor. Thank you for asking me on the show.
All right, folks, until next time, God bless, and thank you for being with us.
Thank you for listening. Please follow the show and visit our blog at strengthtobehuman.blogspot.com. Thank you for listening. Please follow the show and visit our blog at strengthtobehuman.blogspot.com.